Let us pray. Let your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, O Lord. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Thank you for your word, my Lord. Thank you for preserving our souls from all evil. And thank you for this moment of worship. Our desire, Lord, is that it will be pleasing to you. And Father, you return it for glory. I pray that you enable us. Let your word dwell in us richly, Lord. Remove, bring down, oppose every scheme of Satan in every heart at this hour. Your word is spiritual. Your fellowship is spiritual. Father, everything unseen that aligns against the purpose of Jesus this morning, I pray that such will be removed. Reveal yourself to us, I pray. I pray that this gathering will not be foolishness to you. If there be anything we're missing that we ought to have added as ingredients to our worship, if there's anything in our creative being that we've forgotten, for we tend to forget important things too. Father, please forgive us. Let the Spirit ever present teach us, O Lord. Just pray that as we open your word, it will come alive. The trick of Satan is that your children will be alienated from your word. Pray, Lord, that you bring us close this morning. You said faith will come by hearing, and it is the hearing of your word. Let it be so. I pray that faith will be engendered in our hearts and peace this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if there's any missing ingredients in Christianity today, well, there are lots, but it is peace. And the Lord has been talking to me about peace recently. And as the Lord has commanded me, I should never prepare to preach again in my life. The Lord has taught me there's not that preaching and sermon is not an exercise. He said that natural preaching is in the verse, be in readiness at all time to say the hope that's in you. That it will not be you that speaks, but the Spirit of God that speaks within you. So he says that what you have not been taught of the Spirit, what you have not been practicing, don't say it, because that's a lecture, not a sermon. So I've seen for many years now, take it that what the Lord speaks to me about is what I will talk about. And I found it to be much more easy in ministry, because then I share as a subject of the Lord, as a sojourner to other sojourners. And what Christ has been speaking to me about lately, recently, as I've been reading and I've been preaching and talking about the faith of our fathers, is peace. Especially this week, the Lord made me, this last week, the Lord made me pause and see just how troubled his children are. If there's any element that is missing from our worship of the Lord, is anxiety, is that it's filled with anxiety, filled with doubt. You look into Christian eyes, there's no joy. There used to be spontaneous joy. I think Sister Shedi talked about joy this morning. Christians are too tired to look into the word of God. When we look, we try hard, we can't retain. No peace. So we read from Isaiah this morning, chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. And one phrase there, I'm going to read it again. And generally, unfortunately, we always reserve this verse, these two verses for Christmas. Right? We've turned them into Christmas verses. But the Lord did not intend them to be Christmas verses. The Lord did not intend. That's why Jesus never told us to always recite them at a particular place. This was a declaration of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, a prophecy about the Lord Jesus. And he says, unto you and I, all of us, a child is born. And let's remember that this word of prophecy was uttered before the child was born. The prophet was speaking in the prophetic. The prophetic is a voice of certitude. It's calling the things that be not as though they were. Now, in retrospect, we all know that the child has been born. Why am I saying that? I want you to please note what I'm saying. The Bible talks about a more certain word of prophecy, right? When, for those of you who like prophets and prophecies, when a prophet says, you shall buy a car in the year 2000, when did the hybrid come? You shall buy a car. It shall be hybrid. I'm assuming, let's say this word even came before Toyota invented the hybrid engine, right? And Barabumi receives it. A lot of you are not receiving. You better start receiving electric car and hybrid. Now, even though you see gas money is going up. Okay. And then we look back at Brother Bumi, and lo, he has a hybrid. Does it not make the prophecy more powerful? Because we have the benefit of looking retrospectively, and it's come to pass. That's the way this prophecy is for us. When Isaiah preached about it, the idea that one son would be born was weird in Israel. But let's see what he said about him. He said, this child will be born to us. This child will be a male child. He will be a son, and that son will be given. He said, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And I love what Brother Kenny said earlier. Just in case you think that this child is Barack Hussein Obama, it's not politics. This government is an established one. It's not a kingdom that comes and goes. Those that thought that this child probably maybe Alexandra the Great were disappointed because the time of Alexandra the Great came and it went. This is a different kind of government. This government will be upon his shoulder, and this child's name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the one we're focusing on is Prince of Peace. Brother Kenny said this morning that it is the desire and the zeal of the Lord to give you peace. He prophesied in his son Jesus that one of the hallmarks of Christianity would be peace. As I move on this morning, I'm going to have to ask a question asked in the Bible. I'll give it a twist. Have you had peace since you believed in Jesus Christ? Is your walk with the Lord filled with peace? I had to say, Lord, oh my, my testimony is very similar to that of Jacob. My life has been long and filled with trouble. But it's not the desire of the Lord. Prince of Peace. So in Luke chapter 2, if you open to when Christ came and the shepherds saw the Lord. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Verse 14. Anybody that finds it, you read it. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. When the angels announced the fulfillment of this prophecy, let's see the way they announced the fulfillment of the prophecy. I'd like someone to read it.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.
The old King James says, on earth, peace and goodwill towards all men. When Christ came, the purpose of God is to give you and your family and your mind peace. When you get born again, the natural trait of a believer is peace. I ask again, and it's a good question to ask. When someone promises you something and you find you receive the package, if you receive a package from Amazon and you know what you ordered, and you opened it, you looked at the invoice, you got some of the things, but you are missing one. What should you do? You people are so e-commerce to return. You just return. You don't call. You used to call customer service, but now you just angrily just return and reorder, right? But you should ask, why isn't this particular item part of the package that I received? I want you to be laser focused this morning on the fact that God promises us peace. Brother Kenny again quoted that Matthew chapter 11, 28, 29 verse that says, come unto me. This was Jesus speaking. And he looked and said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest, it says there, but it's the same as peace. I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. If you have a burden this morning, Jesus is saying, but the Bible tells us that as a Christian, Jesus is our burden bearer. He wants us to have what? Are you troubled about work? The psalmist said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? I will yet praise the Lord, who is the health of my countenance. The Bible took care of that again. Peace. I just wanted to be settled that a normal Christian life is not a life of toil and anxiety, but it's supposed to be. If you have Jesus, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Now, we can preach at one another and say, go and have peace. I think I'd like us to examine, why is it that we do not have that peace? But I don't want to rush away from the topic. One thing that ought to differentiate a believer from an unbeliever is what? Peace. Because we carry in us the what? The Prince of Peace. The Lord told me something this week that scared me. He said, you better be very sure of me while on earth. He said, if you do not know me on earth, don't be sure you will know me in heaven. I'm not a parable. I'm not the idol that you put next door and you keep pouring your palm oil upon their head, hoping they walk one day. I am real. It is your job to seek me and find me. And you have been talking about the faith of the fathers. Have you not seen that all of them knew me, sought me, they found me, they walked with me. I spoke with them. I led them. You will not get to heaven to find peace if you don't find the Prince of Peace on earth. And the Prince of Peace is a real person, and his peace is not symbolic or academic. It is true. It's Isaiah 26, verse 3. He will set in perfect peace those whose hearts, it keeps in perfect peace. Those whose heart has stayed on him, whose minds are stayed on him, because they what? They trust in him. He keeps in perfect peace those whose minds are what? Stayed on him because they trust in him. So I say, Lord, the key to peace is to have a mind that is not wandering from pillar to post. Lord, the key to peace is to have a mind that cultivates Jesus. And then the Lord remind me, wasn't that what set the fathers apart? They were not running from pillar to post. They made the Lord their God, their trust. So I want you to open the Bible to Psalm 119, verse 165. The Lord is saying, He wants your experience of Him to be real. Everything that your heart desires in peace. What did I do wrong? No, this is better? How is it better? I don't trust men. I put my trust in the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 165. Anybody that finds it, should please read it for us. Rest.
Say it again.
Yeah, please.
Those who love your teachings will find true peace, and nothing will defeat them.
Praise the Lord. Key number two. A mind that is not stayed on the promise that a man has made to you. It's not stayed. Your mind is not stayed on what the news and current affairs says. Your mind is not stayed on your situation. Your mind is not stayed. I mean, you acknowledge the impact of this. The Bible does acknowledge them. But your singular stay is the Lord Jesus. Then those who love your Lord, the law of the Lord, they will find peace. And nothing will move them. Key number two. Key number two. These are nuggets of truth that we need as we walk to Jesus to remember. Because when you trigger them, they will work for you. Many of us are too strong for God to help. We have it figured out. So why would God? Because there's no glory for Him in it. Remember, the Bible says everything that God does, He does it for His own glory. So we don't have peace because we're not using His method. Every Christian that is helped by God will be able to say of myself, I'm nothing if not for God. I mean it. If you keep yourself in the word of God, you will have peace. But it's very hard to do. So we must pray for the grace. Remember, last week in Hebrews, we read that verse that says that we should receive the grace that will teach us how to serve God in reverence, in fear, and godly reverence. Peace. Someone should open to Romans chapter 8 and read verse 6 for us. Romans 8, 6. Go ahead. You are the mic people, right? Anti-you seniority. Okay. No, it's fine. Read. Please read. Okay. Yeah, okay. Auntie says she defers to you.
I did. Okay. Romans 8:6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace.
You see that formula again? I ask you this week, what has governed your mind? Does that not explain why we have no peace? Strategies, formulas, methods, connections, networking. When it's bear market, we are temperamental. When the bulls come, we are happy. When inflation increases, fear. When the economy is booming, happy. Up America. What is Biden doing? No peace. Our peace flows and ebbs. When job is going on well, we're happy. When we have wahala at work, no more peace. But the Christian is even killed because his mind is set on the Lord. How did this thing get here? No peace, even in church. To be carnally minded, the arm of flesh will fail you. Listen, when the Bible says the arm of flesh will fail you, you dare not trust. So it doesn't mean that you cannot become successful. It doesn't mean that your children will not graduate and go to schools. And it means you will not have peace. Real success has nothing to do with money. If you have a little in your account, I think it's a proverb that said it, that a muscle with peace is better than in a mansion, plenty with wahala with it. When we want money, when we want our children to prosper, when you want to excel in school, what you really want or hope for is that those things will give you peace. Because I don't think anybody will want money if it will bring trouble. We really do want peace. And we always think that these things are the way to peace. But the Bible is teaching us that focusing on the Lord your God and Jesus is the way to peace. And this is one topic that I think I really like because I'm a scientist. I mean, that means I read science in school. Unlike some people who are liars. Sorry, I mean lawyers. And they call themselves learned colleague, but yeah. Unlike some people who are, where we deal with data. We don't have a dog. That's okay, I don't like meat. There's McDonald's, no problem. It's in Nigeria that you can shock people with food. Here you can go, there's Kingsway, there's Queen's Skinny. No, but they have it in King's Buka or whatever. You know, you can't shine with food in America. There's food all over. Kitchen in America is for decoration. Okay, that one is scripture. But I didn't say anything. I just said, I like this issue of peace because we can speak to it factually. I ask of you, as you have been accomplishing and doing the right thing to the best of your ability, have you really had the peace that you desire inside? Even if you did, has it come from the things we were thinking would give them to us? I'm just saying there's fact. The Lord told me something this week that I want to share with you. He said, every time you want to stray from my word, remember every time you have strayed from it, has it given you peace? So can you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result? Why don't you try my method? We're going to start Monday again. Same routine every day. Can you change something? Because you know, as Satan is telling you, unless I grow, I have to rush. I have to do this. And you've done it for about 20 years or 10 or whatever. Has it given you peace? Oh, I have to do this extra degree. The last one you did it give peace? I'm not saying these things are bad, but I'm saying make no mistake. Jesus is peace, not these things. The word that you run away from the scriptures we read, that those who love his word will not stumble, they will have peace. Psalm 119:165, memorize it. Jesus is saying, keeping yourself in my word, that is peace. Philippians 4:6, be anxious over nothing, but in all things, through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your request may be made known unto the Lord. And the peace of God, which passes all formula, will now guide your heart and your mind, and it will be through Jesus Christ. That's the Bible. That's why we pray for peace, but we don't have it, because the formula is set. Now I pray God will grant us the courage to use it. His formula, Satan resists it. He will make sure your business will prosper at about the time when you are deciding to move closer to God. So you are going to have money, but guess what? You will not have peace. He will do anything to make sure that the full package is not yours. Yet our Jesus is the what? We are running out when we should be running in. Music will not give you peace. Even Christian music can never give. They are, during COVID, there was this thing called palliative. And Satan does not mind us having palliative. That's okay. My palliative keeps his program going. But Christ promises an abundance of life, a permanent peace, of the increase of his government and of peace. There will be no, it's not peace on Monday, trouble on Tuesday and Wednesday. Some peace in January, but trouble in April and May. So it is supposed to be a life of? A life of what? In school? Your friends will be hating on you and you will have? There'll be no money in your account and you will have? And money too, because the Lord will provide that. No letter from home, yet you will have. The courses are difficult and the are you guys college students? The professors are difficult. Student affairs is not responding, and yet you have. Jesus is yet to lose a child. He said something, he said, you people, I don't understand you. That was the Lord speaking. Matthew 6:33. Around that place, he said. Said the birds, they don't care. They don't even have a job. The lilies of the valley, they don't care. They don't have a job. There's no dressing Macy's. Like the flowers are done, your heavenly Father provides. The things we worry about, he says, he will give us peace. The heritage of a Christian is peace. Without peace, we can't sing right. We can't preach right. Because although we sing about peace, our hearts are troubled. We preach about peace, our hearts are troubled. The trouble is waiting outside after service. But we must learn to serve the Lord acceptably with godly reference. So once you open to 2 Thessalonians 3:16, another person, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, as we close. I just want you to know, I testify that Jesus is real. As you begin to empty yourself of anxiety and absorb the word of God, you will start seeing that your capacity for peace will increase. It will. The Bible says you should put away the sins and the weight that so steal your joy. And determining your, put your effort rather in running with patience the race that is set before you. As you begin to obey the Lord, you will see that your peace will increase. He said, obedience is better than being a worker in church, than doing prayer on Orioke. You know what Orioke is? You don't know mountain prayer. It's better than sacrifices. And hearkening is better than listening, is better than what? Than sacrifices, the fattening of ram. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat peace. you will find peace. What's your name? You're such a nice person. What's your name? Yeah. Daniel? Yeah, you look like a Daniel. No, it's just cool somehow. I was like you when I was young. God. Do we understand? Jesus loves us so much. One of the frustrations that the Lord had with the people of Israel is that he kept telling them to do something, and they were ready to do every other thing but the thing he told them to do. Please, okay. Who will read it?
2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all.
Amen. Colossians 3, 15 and 16. There was that. Let's go to Colossians 3 before. Let me see. That passage came to me. Let's see what it says. Colossians 3. Please, someone should open it. 15 and 16, what does that say?
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Amen. You see how the Lord wants our hearts to be. Don't let your heart be filled with politics, economics, calculation, strife, fight, enemies. The Bible says we should pursue holiness and also peace with all men, without which no man will what? See God. Pursue holiness and peace with all men. Anywhere where there is wahala as a Christian, you should do what? Move away from it, because you carry the Prince of Peace. Things don't give peace. The Prince of Peace gives peace, irrespective of things or where you are in life, irrespective of the storm. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples when he met them in the midst of the storm in a situation that should scare them, and they were sorely afraid. And he said, peace, be still to the storm. Peace. You can't serve God right if you have no peace. But I want you to know that Jesus wants to give you peace. So set your eyes now from all the methods you've been using last week. Are you fighting with your spouse? Set the record straight with peace. Just set your face on Jesus. That man or woman will always give you wahala. In this world, you will have tribulation. But what does it say? I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I will take care of he or her or him or it, or that co-worker or that professor. I will. Cast thy burdens upon me, for I care for you. Set your face upon Jesus. Look deeply into his eyes. And the things of these troublesome people, as you set your mind on Christ, it will keep you in perfect peace. That's our challenge, because we are strong. Our reflexive response is to solve our problem ourselves. And then the Lord says, I need just 300 soldiers. 300 soldiers, you mean prayer? They are almost killing me at work. You are telling me to kneel down and pray. This is not, I have to scheme. I have to send that. Before you send that email, remember the Prince of Peace. He's really able to fight these battles. Have you tried? You'll be cast down. You will not be forsaken. Those who follow him have a lot of external wahala, but they have a lot of internal peace. Are you raising hand? Why do you raise hand like this?
Remember.
So as you were talking, I was just thinking that Jesus Christ did he have a peaceful reign on earth? It's like he went from one trouble to the other.
And I thank you for asking that question. Does anybody have an answer? Sister Ronke is saying, you talk too much, Brawali. Even this Jesus was his life not full of trouble. I know. I'm just interpreting. I like to, please. Right. So don't do theory for us here. Listen, let's talk practical. Even Jesus that you are preaching, did he not have wahala up and down? And you are now telling me to walk out of here and face the same reality. And you are talking about, even the Prince of Peace had wahala. Sister, this is a legitimate, Sister Lola.
So when you started talking about peace, and I think you mentioned that your life has plenty of trouble. Of course, then I thought, okay, my life has plenty of trouble. But then I reflected back to moments where it's not always that I felt I had true peace. And so I went to my dictionary and I read the definition of peace, and I kind of wrote a bunch of words down of what peace, the ones that resonated with me of peace. And he said, let's see, freedom from disturbance, stillness, order, respite, goodwill. Sorry, I don't have my glasses, the last one. Okay, hold on a second. No.
Yeah, there are a bunch of you in this church. No, but you're not alone. Yeah. Don't worry, you're not alone.
Harmony. And so I just sat here. For me, things make more sense picturally than, so I picture things, and all I could sit and think was of a stormy sea, mm-hmm. and what was going on at the bottom of the sea.
Okay, the surface is rough.
So there's a surface that's going on and it's rough and there's a storm there. But right at the bottom, the fish that's at the bottom, that's a story to them. You would have to tell them that they don't know this. They are at complete peace down there. And so as you were preaching the word, that's what I could think. Like, okay, as long as you could stay your mind on God, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be trouble or storms up top, but down at the bottom, am I there where I'm at the bottom of the sea, or am I participating in what's going on up top?
Royally, don't come on. Hebrews 4 from verse 14. It says, seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In terms of trouble, starting from Jacob, who said his life is full of trouble, but his days are the youngest in comparison to his ancestors, to all of the prophets that we see, Jeremiah, for example, and John the Baptist, and Paul, and Peter, and John the Beloved, who among those really had peace, but they are God's generals. Once taught me a lesson. He said, when you talk about temperance, it's not because you are strong, you are sharp. It is until when you are bent, right, and you flip right back up into place, that they can say you really have temperance. And that means you've been just like the sword. For those who do fencing, usually what they do is to bend their sword and then to go, it doesn't break. Yeah. And that is the level at which God can now begin to entrust troubles to you. Because it is the troubles that will work out your perfection necessarily. The Bible says that Jesus himself cried out. And when he groans with strong groanings, blood started coming out from his eyes as tears. For us, because we're humans, those are painful moments. From our own perception, those are peaceless moments. But it was at that point that Jesus Christ said, if, I mean, I was following what Peter did, that he wanted to defend out of carnality. He cut off somebody's ear and said, hey, boy, this is not the way we do it. This is not the manner of the kingdom. What we need to do is to forget about the forces that we have, the powers that we have. Going back to the legions that from heaven that Jesus Christ is referring to, Elijah knew the kind of force that he had behind him, but he was at peace because the issue here is what we see in relation to what we do not see that is actually there for us. Okay. Bro, well, it is very simple. Let's take the case of Elijah. Elijah knew that there were some angels on the mountains that were with them. The young man who's walking in the flesh, who's totally human like us, did not see these forces. There were myriads of soldiers standing by to take them out. And then he said, do not fear. There are more who are with us than they who are with them. It was until Elijah prays and says, God, open his eyes that he now sees. So if God were to open our eyes right now, what will we see around us? His peace is based on the things that he does not see. The Bible says, blessed are they who do not see, but they have believed.
Right.
So the things that we do not see, that the provisions that God have made for us that are spiritual that we do not see are those assets that we have that should uphold our peace on earth, not the manifestations of the flesh that trouble us so that touch our emotions because we want to empathize with people around us. We feel the pain. We do all that. But it says that is flesh. But the spiritual resources that you have, that should uphold you, is something that you do not see. And it is in that that you should glory and maintain your peace.
Roshega. True. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. By it, the fathers received a good report. Your question answer, Sister Runke? Yes. Jesus is our peace. That's peace is not the absence of trouble. It is who is in trouble with you. It's like going to a very high-end store that sells very expensive things. Have you ever walked into a very high-end store in some mall before? That's conscience that is checking out because what I'm about to say, it probably has affected her more than any other person in this place. Yeah, if you just keep quiet, I won't point you out. So you know when conscience is talking to people, she knows exactly what I'm about to say. And you look at a pair of shoes and they say, I mean, you have in your mind that, okay, I have $125. Yeah, I'm good. And then you go in there and, you know, the, what do you call attendants? They do you well. They start giving you drink. Once they start giving you drink and telling you to sit down, you should know you're in the wrong store, right? Because where you normally bear shoes, they don't give you drink and they don't tell you to sit down. But someone as stubborn as Sister Ronke will still go, right? Because she said, I look the part. Okay. So she'll go in there and then they'll tell her to sit down. And then she'll look, and those people never really reveal the price to you. In those regular, you won't know. And then they bring out the tag and the shoe says $3,500. Now you're too ashamed to just walk out. So what people like Sister Ronke would do is, okay, may I see? Do you have in another? Then she will call a very outrageous size that she knows that, okay, maybe when you have that in stock. And then she goes, I'm just making fun of Sister Ronke. That trouble that comes upon you in that moment, if you had $3 million in your account, your peace will not be disturbed. You are so confident that no matter what happens, I am okay. Because Jesus is with us. It's not as though we will not walk into areas of confusion and need. But because you know Jesus is with you. Christ said, to your question again, he said, in the time of, I think Paul was it that said it. He said, in the time of trouble, nobody was with me. They all went away. He said, but my Lord was with me. Even the Lord Jesus Christ said it. He said, but my Father was with me. And because the Father was with him, he will not be moved. He will not be moved. That's what Jesus promises us. As I close, I don't just want to teach about the theory of peace. I want to talk about something practically that you have to do. As long as your mind is bogged down with issues, you will not have peace. You can quote as many scriptures. You can pray for 30 hours in the morning. You can do all the sacrifice. You can do the church. You can change your schedule. You can do everything and you've tried it. You and I know you've tried. It will not work. Christ said, unless you empty yourself of some of those activities and make time that your mind will be set with me, I have nowhere to feel peace with. This morning, reevaluate your schedule. Reevaluate your worship. Reevaluate the way you take your time, you use your time. Make way for Jesus. When he comes in and dines with you, you will start experiencing peace. Reevaluate how you stand relative to the words it speaks to you. As you shut down that social media a little bit, for the sake of Jesus, he will fill you with peace. As you create a little, I'm not saying prayer is not an automatic. There's a lot of prayer being prayed and not being answered because they are not being prayed in the right spirit. Your wife is saying you're not spending enough, or your husband, you're not spending enough time with me, and you're going to buy jewelry. Is it jewelry she's talking about? There are so many idols in our lives. There are simple little things. There are things, everyone that is born again, and you know when you used to have peace with God. I can bet you for every one of you, there are some traditions and ancient landmarks that you have left behind. And you keep wondering why there's no peace. Well, the time when you had peace, there were certain things you took seriously that you no longer take seriously. That's why God said, you draw near to me and I will draw near to you. It's a transaction. I said to the Lord, I don't want the trumpet to sound without me. I'm saying to the Lord, I want to hear you because I read, you know, I'm studying the fathers. And I read where Moses said, Lord, I'm tired of hearing you. I want to see you with my eyes. Such effrontery. And the Lord did not rebuke him because what he wanted was good. I'm saying, Lord, you've been speaking to me through your word. I want you to speak to me in English or Yoruba. I don't understand Yoruba as much as I do English. In English. I want to hear you. And I know it pleases the Lord. If you are pressing on to know God more, you have to shut down that show that he has been talking to you about. Listen, don't let's just preach theory. When you shut it down, the reasons for your anxiety, He will fill it in with his peace. That fight, that quarrel that he's been telling you to shelve, if I'm not just saying shelving it for shelving it's sake, I mean, if it's for the sake of knowing God that you shelve it, the Prince of Peace will tabernacle with you. All of us, the Holy Ghost will lay his finger on why you are not having peace. And then as we make corrections, every relationship with God starts with repentance. And in this age, we don't like repentance. We like grace. And that grace is actually the ability to accommodate sin, not to remove it. We define our definition of grace today is God accommodating sin. It's not God empowering us to get rid of it. Our grace is not transformative. Our grace is amnesty. But grace in the Bible is not amnesty. It's transactional. Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. And the same Jesus says, check your mind. Draw near to me. When I tell you, put down that book, it's not good for the soul. If you say, Lord, I've read one, I've read 20 of it. It's true. It hasn't given me peace. I read it to distract myself. But you're right. The last 20 did not give me peace. Now this extra one will not. So shelve it and wait on the Lord. Boredom will almost kill you. But don't worry, it won't kill you. It's just the testing. When the Lord sees that you are really ready, he said, I will come in and dine with you. And you, behold, I stand at the door knocking. If you open the door of your heart, I will come in. Experiential godliness. Sheer holiness. God has called you to be his people. That's the meaning of holiness. It means you are reserved for me. It's a marriage. You don't share. God does not want to share us with other things and other stuff. He has called us. He knows us by name. And when you call someone, you're particular. And the Lord said, he said, he's jealous. He's jealous for you. So he gets angry when you are not paying attention to him. And then his peace departs. The Bible says, quench not the spirit. Practical step this week. Reevaluate. Take seriously how you walk with the Lord. Take it seriously. Just try with little things. He will not give you more than you can bear. The Lord will not tell you to go into a monastery. Monastery, Ali. He will not tell you to go into a monastery. No, no. Maybe you end up there, but he will first start by telling you. Eh? He might tell you by saying, look into that closet, baby. This. You know it. I don't need to preach. You know it. Because your master has been talking to you about it. It's just that you're no longer here. And you men, look into your attitudes, your selfishness. Yeah? On law club, on hang with friends, on share, on nigbagbo, sorry, I will interpret. You are clubbing, you are doing, you are a Christian. You know, this is not how you started walking with me. You knew, you once understood what holiness meant. It meant intimacy with me. Where I send you is where you go. Look into those layers. And as we begin to repair those things in our lives, the peace, the Prince of Peace will return. He will give you prophecy. Some people sitting here are prophets. Some people sitting here are evangelists. God has work for us to take up the time that we will free up from these useless activities. God has, the Spirit is ready to bless us. We are not useless, redundant people, but we are not available. Do you want peace? You don't wait to heaven to have peace. His peace. The Bible calls it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7. It says it's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace. It's a different kind of my peace I give unto you. What's that song? It's a peace that the world cannot know. See? It's a peace that the world cannot understand. Peace to live and peace to know. My peace I give. It's a different kind. It comes from within.
O Prince of Peace, of your kingdom and your reign, we are sure there shall be no end. This morning we've come to look to you. We've desired of you that you, the Lord, will remove every form of veil, hardness, and standards we've set in place that is not making your peace to prevail. This morning, Lord, you have sent your word. Cause this word to be quickened in our hearts. Grant your word good speed. Let it prosper in our hearts. Lord, open our eyes of understanding. Let us see you at the back end. Let us see you working for us. Let us see the price you have paid for our peace. Let us know that you are on the throne interceding for us. Let us know that you are there for us. Help us to know that we have a space for fellowship with you personally. Help us, O Lord, as we have heard, that we will indeed change from one level of glory to another. For we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. May the Lord grant us his peace.